Engaging. Thorough. Cutting edge with essential information. Unbiased and unfiltered. When it comes to the issues in your community, WZND is here. With detailed investigative pieces from the award-winning WZND news team, WZND's Bird's Eye View gives you in-depth information on the issues you need to know about. Recognized for excellence in long-form news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the Bird's Eye View starts now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Hello and welcome to the April edition of Bird's Eye View. In this month's episode, we're taking a deep dive into name, image, and likeness deals for collegiate athletes. We'll talk about the history of NIL, the variation of NIL deals between smaller and larger schools, and international domestic students, how NIL has impacted one of ISU's own athletes, the disparity between deals for male and female athletes, and the psychological impact making an NIL deal can have on the athletes. I'm your Bird's Eye View producer, Colleen Holden.
I'm your co-host, Gavin Broderick.
And I'm your other co-host, Blake Borgard.
How are you guys doing today?
I am doing great.
I'm doing good this morning, guys. This is a topic that I'm really passionate about, so I'm excited to get into it today.
Glad to hear it. We have a great show coming up shortly, but before we begin, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View continues now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This month's topic is on NIL deals.
This topic of NIL is a relatively new concept that is fluid and still changing despite being legal for just under 4 years. WZND's Braden Fogerson has the inside look on the history of NIL and how it's been established.
The story of name, image, and likeness becoming profitable for college athletes could not be told without two landmark moments in the past decade. Just 10 years ago, the NCAA used the title of student-athlete as a way to justify not only not paying their athletes, but also not allowing them to receive any other forms of payment through merchandise deals or sponsorships. Ed O'Bannon's landmark case against the NCAA got the ball rolling towards changing that narrative. Director of Name, Image, and Likeness and Community Engagement for ISU, Maya Bolger, details what came of it.
He filed a lawsuit against EA Sports for utilizing him in the NCAA basketball game and not giving him any money for it. And there was tons of money going to EA Sports for this game, and the athletes that were actually in the game weren't receiving any money for it. Ed O'Bannon won that case.
After the lawsuit, athletes still couldn't profit off their own talents, but for the moment, companies like EA Sports couldn't either. Fast forward to 2019, when California's Fair Play Act forced the NCAA's hand.
California basically said, we're going to allow our student-athletes to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. And that kind of prompted the NCAA to have to say something, because if California is allowing student-athletes in that state to make money off their name, image, and likeness, obviously all the best athletes are going to go to California, at least the athletes that are really good and want to engage in the NIL space. So that's when you see the NCAA saying, hey, we need to get something set in place for NIL.
Of course, this new opportunity has led to very predictable avenues of improvement in regards to the daily lives of athletes. However, there have also been some less expected ways to enrich the learning experience in college.
A lot of the stigma surrounding NIL is that we're just paying student-athletes to put money in their pocket, right? But a lot of NIL is more than that. A lot of our student-athletes are learning how to do their taxes, what financial literacy is, how to market themselves, how to pitch themselves. So with a lot of educating individuals on what NIL is and how it truly benefits the student-athlete beyond the compensation.
It's a brave new world in college athletics, but people like Bolger make sure that athletes at ISU keep up with the times. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Braden Fogerson.
What's always been so striking to me about this topic is that it was the state of California that had to step in and intervene and allowed players to finally capitalize on the ability to profit on their own talents and the brand that goes associated along with that. All it took was that one state to stand up for this issue, and the NCAA's hand was forced unless they wanted all of the best athletes only flocking to schools in California, which would have completely tipped the scales for that state when it came to recruiting the best players.
Braden briefly touched on NIL isn't just financially beneficial for student athletes, but also for their education. When student athletes graduate, they're thrown into a new world head first. And for many, they go and get their first ever jobs, because being a student athlete up to this point was a full-time job for them. So that education on financial responsibility and tax law is something that isn't touched on enough when discussing NIL.
The NCAA approving NIL deals may have been done in the name of leveling the playing field between schools, but that does not mean there isn't a disparity in the number of deals between smaller and larger schools. WZND's Kason Shingothi is live in the studio with us after speaking with Illinois Wesleyan University's athletic director, Mike Wagner. How's it going, Kason?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for calling in, Kason. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
So just to start off, what can you tell us about Mike Wagner's feelings towards NIL at Wesleyan? Is there some excitement towards the prospect, or is there any apprehension?
I would say that he's actually pretty open to the idea, but, you know, being such a small D3 school, Wesleyan really doesn't have the opportunity to get those calls from the bigger corporations like Nike, Adidas, et cetera, et cetera. So while he is a fan of the idea of student-athletes getting that opportunity and getting the chance, there really aren't many opportunities for them, again, being that small D3 school, not getting those big deals like everyone else is.
So they don't get these big deals. What kind of deals do they get?
Yeah, so again, they're getting deals from smaller kinds of corporations, so more local businesses, maybe some startup companies that are trying to get their name or their brand out there with any school that they really have the opportunity to.
So, Kason, I'm curious, you know, you talked a little bit about how there aren't that many opportunities for them, but with Wesleyan being a smaller school, I feel like they would have to market their players in a certain way in order to gain the attention of these companies. So is there anything that the university does themselves in order to gain the attention of those companies?
Yeah, so they try to really market their players and just kind of market Wesleyan as a whole to try and attract people from the outside. Because, again, being a D3 school is really hard marketing in and of itself. And so getting that out there with social media posts, trying to get people to games, trying to get games more nationally recognized are really a part of their strategy.
And did Mike ever touch on, you know, what qualities that these companies come for when they're looking for these players, especially at a smaller school?
You know, I think it's just being honest, good students and really showing that work ethic and that drive, and obviously the marketability and talent, because you want to be able to have people recognize and say, oh yeah, I know that player, I really like that player, and I want to support them, or I want to support this company, which in turn supports them.
And, you know, with Mike being a former Division III athlete himself, you know, I'm sure he can relate to this in some regard of, you know, wanting to get paid based off of your talents. Did he himself touch on that at all for you?
Just a little bit, briefly, just to really iterate how much, difficult it is for these student-athletes to get these deals, and how important it is to really reach out and get their name out there, not just for NIL deals, but for their school in general, because, again, they're really not recruiting those super high-level athletes like other schools are.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today, Case, and we really appreciate you taking the time and sitting down with Mike Wagner.
Absolutely, guys. No problem.
Absolutely. You have a great rest of your day. Once again, that's WZND's Kason Shingothi, who spoke with athletic director at Illinois Wesleyan, Mike Wagner. You know, Illinois Wesleyan, they're in great hands with Ron Rose as well, who's at the head of their NIL department. He's the head coach for Illinois Wesleyan basketball, and I personally covered IWU basketball a year ago when they made that deep run into the Division III NCAA tournament. I spoke with Coach Rose once a week, every week, just like talking about the players and the culture of the team itself. And what I got from that is Coach Rose cares deeply about the success of his players and the development of their character as well. I'm sure when deals come in for these players, he keeps those same attributes to ensure the success and legal safety of the student athletes of Wesleyan.
There's still plenty more to talk about today. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back in. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is on name, image, and likeness.
More than 10% of the NCAA student athletes cannot participate in NIL deals despite meeting both academic and athletic criteria needed to do so. The reason? Their international student visa status prevents them from doing so. Blake Borgard spoke with international student at ISU to find out more.
After a decade-long battle leapfrogging from generation of student-athletes to the next, the lives of NCAA student-athletes were changed forever in July of 2020 with the passing of NIL. Despite this tumultuous battle for every athlete to have the ability to capitalize on their image, not everyone was.
I walked up to her and I asked her, and she said, yeah, there's no way that international students can participate in this at the moment. And then I got a little sad because I thought it was a cool opportunity.
That's ISU volleyball player Nora Yonka speaking on her first time talking with Maya Bolger about the possibility of participating in NIL. Nora is an international student athlete from Austria. Her situation differs from most. The status of her F1 student visa prohibits her from certain work situations in the United States during her time attending ISU. This includes the ability for her to capitalize on NIL.
All international students have an F1 visa, and it's a student visa. And basically, it prohibits you from working in the United States. And so every other job, I wouldn't be allowed to do it. And the problem with NIL is that it's considered a job.
The lone loophole for Yonka to participate in NIL with her current visa is during her time at home in Austria. Due to her position on the volleyball team and their rigorous practice and training routines to maintain MVC dominance, Yonka is only able to return to her home country for 2 months out of the year.
Let's say I'm home for a month. I'd have to set up everything during that month. I'd have to get paid during that month, and I'd have to do all the posts or events, whatever it might be. I would have to do while I'm home. For volleyball, with me only being home for barely a month in the summer, it is not enough time.
Yonka has plans to attempt an NIL deal next winter when she returns home over break. Despite having very little ability to pick and choose what few deals she has the ability to participate in, she still has standards that companies she represents need to uphold.
What's important for me in terms of that is that no animals are being harmed in the process. So I would want to do it with a vegan company or animal-free company. That would be my main goal.
Even though Yonka can participate in deals back home, the fear of the loss of her visa always remains.
That's what really gets a lot of international students to not even think about it, is because if we're being honest, the amount of money I'm going to make is probably not enough to even cover the cost of a lawyer to look over the contract and look over the NCAA and visa requirements to make sure that everything's is okay. So as student athletes that aren't predicted to make $1 million from NIL deals, I don't think it's lucrative for us to even do it, the risk of just losing the visa status.
At the end of the day, NIL isn't just a way for Yonka to get paid. It's a way for her to reconnect and stay familiar with her home.
I mean, I knew a lot. I had a lot of contacts when I left home and during all that time. But with me being gone for almost 3 years now, sometimes I feel like people might have forgotten about me. And I obviously don't want that to happen. So just any exposure really is good. And I think that's the main goal behind it.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Blake Borgart.
This piece was just so fascinating. I would have never considered the difference between international versus domestic NIL deals. Nora mentioned that she wants to work with vegan companies. If she was allowed to do so, would she want to work with any specific companies?
So Nora didn't actually name any companies that she wanted to work with, but she did name a product that she wanted to be associated with, and that was protein powder, like creatine, stuff like that, for people who are going to the gym and after the gym. So obviously, as a student athlete, Nora values personal fitness, so aligning herself with that kind of a product, it would be a seamless fit and transition. What I really did think was honorable and noble was how she did have those standards that companies need to uphold still. I touched on it briefly in my piece, but she does have those standards that companies need to hit and a certain level of morality that meets her own values, which I think is an admirable mark for all NIL-involved student-athletes to aim for.
NIL deals can provide athletes with a plethora of opportunities, but instead of just using the deal to further his career, ISU's very own Lakers Wright spoke with WZND's Tim Zalabek on how he uses the money from his deals to help his family back in Haiti.
From barefooted beginnings to the turf of Hancock Stadium, Wankers Wright explains his unlikely journey to the Division I playing field.
They put me and my brother into soccer. And we literally excelled, both of us, into soccer because that's all we did, barefooted in Haiti. But now we got the luxury of cleats, uniforms, and grass even. And so we just took off, and we excelled pretty good in soccer. But eventually I was getting a little too aggressive. And so they had the idea of putting me into football in fourth grade. And since then, it's just literally taken off for me.
Wankers Wright, the Illinois State Redbird running back, has used his name, image, and likeness to repay the sacrifice made by his parents years ago, moving Wankers and his brother out of Haiti to pursue life in America.
We had shirts, hoodies, apparels, like hats and stuff like that. And what we did with that money, thanks to NIL, we were able to take all that money using my logo and my name, and we were able to send money down to Haiti in little bits at a time to just help them out, and they're super grateful.
The move to the United States was not an easy one for the Wright family, but with name, image, and likeness, it's becoming clear that it was the right choice.
I'm extremely happy because I've always wanted to give back somehow, because I know putting me and my brother in an orphanage wasn't easy, and then it was not easier watching us go with the potential of never seeing us again. So I've always wanted to give back and show my appreciation, and this was a way that I was able to do it, me and my brother both.
As NIL deals continue to improve, Wankers Wright sees a bright future for college athletics.
Made college sports and just the effort that we put in that much more worth it.
I briefly wanted to touch on the character of Wankers as well. I've had the first-hand experience of interviewing him on our sports specialty show, The Red Zone, and just speaking with him face-to-face, I can say that he is one of the more genuine human beings I've spoken with. Just a really great and friendly guy who loves playing football, and it was inspiring to see him be able to use his platform that football has provided him to give back and take care of his biological family back in Haiti.
What I loved about Tim's piece was the optimistic outlook on the potential future of NIL. We live in a rather cynical world, and I always love to hear these heartwarming stories.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
More Bird's Eye View is here now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is name, image, and likeness deals for collegiate athletes. So far, we've talked about the history of NIL, the variation of NIL deals between smaller and larger schools, and international and domestic students, and the unique way NIL has impacted one of ISU's own athletes.
We've talked with a few players about their NIL deals and their goals, but I can't help but ask, is there a difference between the deals men and women receive? WZND's Audra Goff has more.
NIL deals level the playing field for female athletes. The earning potential and professional student opportunities have always been less for female than male athletes. NIL laws have allowed female athletes to market themselves while playing sports in college. Women receive significantly less funding through this new avenue of compensation than men. In the top 100 biggest NIL deals, 9 of the athletes are women. Maya Bolger, the Director of Name, Image, and Likeness and Community Engagement, described the thought process when choosing an athlete. These collaborations will open up more opportunities for brands involved to gain new customer bases.
So if a student athlete or a business is looking for student athletes to promote a campaign, it all depends on what that campaign is.
Bolger shares what businesses look for in their representative athletes.
They're obviously going to look for a student athlete with an audience that resembles who they're trying to have their campaign in front of.
Local businesses have become prominent in NIL partnerships. Athletes from Illinois State are benefiting from NIL deals. Bolger describes local businesses partnering with Redbird athletes.
So we have student athletes who have worked with Connect Transit. We have student athletes that have worked with Blono Pizza Company. We've had student athletes work with Texas Roadhouse in town.
Local athletes is how brands can promote to their local audience. Open Doors' 2023 report states that male college athletes receive 66% of deals from NIL collectives, meaning only 34% of female athletes are paid through college NIL deals. 79% of NIL deals for women come from brand endorsements, deals that often connect to a social media presence. NIL collectives can capitalize on a higher percentage of women on social media sites by tapping into women and their online audience. With over 3.5 million social media followers, Olympic gold medalist Sunny Lee benefits from multiple NIL deals. There is not a limit to the amount of money a student can make or how many deals they can acquire.
There are some student athletes who have NIL deals where they're getting products in exchange for their promotion, and then we have student athletes who are getting, let's say they're shooting commercial and they get $1,000.
Athletes are also given opportunities on screen to promote a brand for a cash reward. It is critical that companies use their influential power to endorse and pay women student athletes. NIL deals are clearly uneven among genders and Power 5 schools. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Audra Goff.
With sports being a historically male-dominated field, it's important that things like NIL deals exist so that women can gain access to more opportunities that they may have been left out of, even if the NIL system isn't perfectly balanced.
66% of NIL deals for men versus the 34% for women is staggering. I think one way to close the gap is for local businesses to sign up for these deals. It's a surprisingly cheap and effective way to market your business.
After the NCAA finally allowed NIL, it was hailed as a monumental victory for student athlete rights. But how might this ability for student athletes to capitalize on their image impact their self-identity during and after their athletic careers? WZND's Matt Cherry has more.
With name, image, and likeness now profitable for college athletes, we step into uncharted territory. Research done by the University of Tennessee Knoxville suggests that there are actually hidden consequences of NIL on an athlete's well-being. The student athlete dedicates a majority of their time and energy towards their athletic identity, making it difficult to take on other identities after moving on from their sport. Dr. Eric Kramer, an assistant professor in the sport management program at ISU, spoke more on this issue.
Athletic identity has been a huge issue within college athletics, and not just college athletics, professional athletics, even high school athletics, especially those student athletes that exit from their athletic career. It's even worse on athletes who exit from their athletic career outside of their own volition. So, you know, if somebody gets a career-ending injury or somebody gets cut from a team, right, and you have no other identity to go off of, then it makes it that transition extremely difficult.
It's recommended that a person balances out their lives with multiple identities to cultivate a more well-rounded character. The problem with NIL is that it may cause student athletes to double down on their athletic identity through building a brand centered around themselves. In turn, this can lead to feelings of isolation due to the fact that the athlete is not integrated in any organization other than the sports world.
Before, you're telling professors, you're telling your friends, you're telling different people, hey, this is who I am, this is my athletic identity. Now you're building a brand, and your entire brand is based off your athletic identity a lot of times. And so in those instances, yes, it could increase issues of athletic identity.
On the contrary, another impact of NIL was an uptick in responsibility in student athletes, as well as a possible sense of purpose that it provided. Dr. Kramer also looked to the positives and saw NIL as a new way for student athletes to actually expand their worldview by taking on new business roles outside of athletics.
I could see it cut both ways, though. I mean, I could see NIL being helpful in some respects to the athletic identity. I mean, it allows athletes to branch out into different areas. It allows them to be more of an entrepreneur and see themselves as a business person instead of just an athlete. So I could see some instances where NIL helps.
While NIL may promote more responsibility, it's possible that it can be an overload. Since NIL in college sports is still in its infancy, it's become very important for athletes to identify and manage burnout.
It's another reason why it's important to have mental health resources housed specifically in athletic departments now, because it is an additional stressor that's added to the already very busy plate of a student athlete.
For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Matt Cherry.
You know, Matt touched on it multiple times that we are still in very uncharted territory with NIL. We could be talking about this topic very differently in 10 years from now in terms of how it could shape the landscape of collegiate athletics across the country. On top of this, too, the reality check for some of these student athletes could be hard for them. For many participating in athletics at a high level, this has been their entire identity for likely over a decade. So how do you cope with that? How do you expand and evolve into a new identity when those athletics aren't around anymore? I think these are very valid questions that NIL will help us expand on in the future.
Earlier in the show, we talked about the benefits of giving college athletes financial responsibility, but I think it's interesting how that could be a double-edged sword. The added responsibility can really stress someone out, and I hope that athletes are able to adapt to this new challenge.
And that wraps up this month's edition of Bird's Eye View. Today we talked about the history of NIL, the variation of NIL deals between smaller and larger schools, and international and domestic students, how NIL has impacted one of ISU's own athletes, the disparity between deals for male and female athletes, and the psychological impact of making an NIL deal can have on the athletes. If you missed any part of today's show, you can head over to WZND.com to listen to the full show right after this. Thank you for listening to Bird's Eye View.
That's it for this month's edition of the Bird's Eye View. To hear this and other past episodes of the show, find the Bird's Eye View podcast on WZND.com or in the iTunes podcast store. And as always, for up-to-the-minute award-winning local news, sports, and weather, stay tuned to 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.